بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله لا يقبض العلم انتزاعا ينتزعه من الناس ولكن يقبض العلم بقبض العلماء إلى آخر الحديث وقال الإمام محمد بن سيرين رحمه الله إن هذا العلم دين فانظروا عمن تأخذون دينكم. Respected friends and elders, every one of us understands and realizes the importance that we have to put on making the right choice. Any decision in life, any person, whether for example comes to employment, or if it comes to choosing a particular health practitioner, it comes to choosing a spouse in life, then a lot rests on making the right choice. And every person has got this worry and concern. I wish I chose correctly. There are some issues in life, if you make the wrong choice, maybe we can cover up for it, we can make up for it. But there are other things in life, respected friends and elders, if you make the wrong choice, then the repercussions are lasting. And it's very difficult to undo that. A person made the wrong choice, he took the wrong turn, he's going in a particular direction, he took the wrong off-ramp. It'll take him a few more minutes, but he can rectify that wrong choice of his. It's a small choice, small mistake. But on the other hand, that person who takes the wrong choice and he is driving on the wrong side of the road, that's more detrimental. The consequences of that are further reaching. When a person has to choose for his worldly activities, then we understand to a great extent the importance of making the right choice. When a man has got to make a serious decision and a major decision regarding his health, then he will choose the best. He goes to the best practitioner. He wants the best physician's advice. And after that, he even goes for a second opinion sometimes, because it's so serious. Like that, respected friends and allies, if a person chooses the wrong doctor, then he's dead meat, like we say. When it comes to choosing a spouse also, if you make the wrong choice, you're cooked also. You're dead meat also. So we understand choosing the right when it comes to aspects of dunya. What I want to focus upon, respected friends and elders, and draw your attention to, is the importance of making the right choice with regards to matters of our deen, with regards to the matters of religion. Religion, respected friends and elders, and the knowledge of deen, we need there as well the proper consultant. We need to make the right choice. Because if you end up choosing the wrong here, then this also has far-reaching consequences. If a person's channel of knowledge, his channel of ilm is tainted, then his amal, his practice will also be tainted. If his channel of knowledge is wrong, his aqidah, his belief will also be wrong. So we need to ensure as well that when we choose the channel of ilm, when we choose the source of ilm, we have to choose correctly as well. Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah, a great alim of his time, a senior tabi'i, who passed away in the year 110 Hijri, 1327 years ago, he made this statement. And what he said that time, respected friends and elders, applies more today than then. He said, "Inna hadha al-ilma deenun." The first part of the statement, that indeed this knowledge is your deen. This is something that has escaped the minds of many of us today. That the knowledge of deen, ilm, is your deen. It's not just any other piece of information. Other pieces of information, news, entertainment, jokes, etc., you can take from any source. There too also, we are particular. But the knowledge of deen is not just mere information that you can take from any person, anyone, any website, any written material, anything with the name of Islam, but with no Islam within themselves. Because you are taking not just knowledge, you are taking your deen. إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينٌ. Information is something else, respected friends and elders. Today we have equated knowledge of deen with information. So wherever we can get information from, we take. Like that, wherever we can get some fatwa, some hadith from, we take without questioning the source. Secondly, we like to pass on news. Every person likes to share news. Good news, you share, the happiness is increased. So we like to share news, we like to share information. So we pass on this knowledge as well, not knowing where we got it from. It could be from reliable sources, yes, and it could be from tainted sources, respected friends and elders. And this is your ilm, your knowledge. So that community, that household, that particular person and individual who's got the wrong source and the wrong channel for his ilm of deen, then this will affect his aqidah, his belief of deen. This will affect his practice, his amal on deen. This affects his entire deen. إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the system that Islam will remain as long as the knowledge of deen remains. If there is no ilm deen in any community, respected friends and elders, there is no deen. There is no Islam. Similarly, if there's tainted ilm deen, if there is tainted knowledge of deen in a particular community, then their version of Islam is tainted. So Ibn Sirin rahimahullah draws our attention that don't treat the knowledge of deen like any other piece of information. Knowledge, inna hadha al-ilm deenun, it is your deen. It's your religion at the end of the day. Based on this is your salvation, respected friends and elders. So it's serious. Therefore, when you choose, you need to choose right. So he says further, فَانْظُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. Then check who you accept your deen from. Check. Don't just accept from anyone and everyone. Imam Malik rahimahullah gave us a great example. He says that رَأَيْتُ أَيُّوبَ السَّخْطِيَانِ بِمَكَّةَ حَجَّتَيْنِ. I saw Ayyub Sakhtiyani rahimahullah, who was a great alim of Iraq, of Basra. Now in that zamana, they would hear, but they never had the chance to verify unless they met the man. So they heard Ayyub Sakhtiyani, he was among the most senior students of Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah. The same Imam we're talking about. His senior student comes to Makkah. Imam Malik rahimahullah, the greatest alim of Medina in his time, says, I saw him. I saw this great alim in Makkah. I saw him for two hajj, but I never attended his lessons. I was watching. And on the third hajj, I saw him sitting fi fina'i zamzam, in the courtyard of zamzam, meaning near the well of zamzam. And kullama dhukira ismu an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam baka hatta arhamahu. And I saw his condition was such, every time the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be taken, he would cry to such an extent that I would take pity on him. Thumma katabtu anhu. Then I took hadith, then I attended the lessons of this imam. Ibrahim Nakhai rahimahullah says the salaf, our pious predecessors, their habit was, before they would accept knowledge from anyone, they would first study his life. Nadharu ila salatihi wa siyamihi. They would see his salat, his fasting, meaning his ibadat and his practical life. We will take Islam from those in whom we can see Islam, respected friends and elders. So the verification process, a vetting process, this was in place from the time of the Salaf. In that zamana, this is the era of the Tabi'un. Few Sahaba were left, and then the students of Sahaba, when there were very few obscure sources of ilm. There were very few people who were not reliable enough to accept ilm from. But despite that, the ulama maintained this vetting process, that we need to check who do we accept from. Because at the end of the day, it is something serious. It's got to do with my religion. Unfortunately, respected friends and elders, by and large, the Muslim community and people in the dunya as well, non-Muslims as well, we have developed this hunger for entertainment. There's an addiction for entertainment. A person wants to be made, he must be happy. Happy-go-lucky. He must be laughing all the time. He wants to see good news all the time. And he wants to be entertained. To an extent, this is allowed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a jovial side to himself as well. But there are boundaries for this as well. When we bring over the entertainment into our deen, and we make it a religion of entertainment, then respected friends and elders, that is not the deen and religion that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought. But it is that hunger for entertainment, the hunger for candy for the ear, that we are attracted to that speaker who may make us laugh more, who may be more entertaining. I'm not questioning any particular speaker. I'm trying to rectify the notion in the audience that we ourselves, respected friends and elders, we should be looking at the belief structure of this person. Who is this person? Is he an alim of deen? Is he qualified? What are his beliefs? Is he from the ulama that we know? Even if he may be a foreigner, but he's an alim who we know, our ulama have endorsed, they are the ones who are inviting him, they are the hosts, then we trust, then mashallah, this is a senior person, this is a reliable person. I may not know too much, but I know that person who's hosting him, I know that alim who's hosting him. But unfortunately, respected friends and elders, that person who's got that twang, that person who's got a better dialect, then we are attracted to that. Having a good dialect, speaking in a twang, pronouncing certain words better than others has got nothing to do with deen. How has that become the criteria for us to accept that this is a better speaker? This is a person from whom I want to get my ilm. I am not saying that to speak in a good manner is wrong. I'm saying that placing emphasis only on this, respected friends and elders, is wrong. There are many, many ulama, alhamdulillah, who speak very nicely, very articulately, and whose belief structures are correct, and who we know. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who was accepted by many ulama, especially the Hanafis, as the greatest alim of Sahaba after the Khulafa'i Rashidin. After the four Khulafa, the greatest alim of Sahaba was Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and his whole life was dedicated to ilm. So he's a person seasoned in this field. And he gives us his advice. Imam Khatib Baghdadi rahimahullah quotes him when he said that لا يزال الناس بخيرٍ. The people will remain in a good condition. The people will remain good, safe and sound. ما أخذوا العلم عن أكابرهم وأمنائهم وعلمائهم. As long as they take their ilm, their knowledge, the knowledge of deen, they take it from their seniors. عن أكابرهم. Their senior and their own senior. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this country, respected friends and elders, with abundant ulama. Abundant, reliable, authentic ulama. That to an extent that we are exporting to other parts of the dunya as well. But many a time, like they say in Urdu, that ghar ki murghi dal barabar. The chicken of at home tastes like dal also. Meaning you got so used to it, you're looking for something else, something new. The solutions to our deen is nothing new, respected friends and elders. The solutions to our deen are all basic and will remain the same, will never change, will never be something new. There's no new solution. It's the same solution that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down over 1400 years ago. The same solution is there for today. There is no need to look on the outside and to look for something new. So, عَنْ أَكَابِرِهِمْ, their own local seniors. وَأُمَنَائِهِمْ, those whom they trust. That person who speaks nicely, I begin to trust him. That says something about my intellect. It says something about how thorough am I. That just because of the lure of the tongue, I get hooked. No, an umana'im, you need to know, is this person trustworthy or not? And if you do not know, ask from somebody who knows. The world has become one global village, respected friends and elders. And with access to the internet as well, we are exposed to many different types of websites. Many different speakers and audio clips of inspirational speakers. And there are many, alhamdulillah, authentic speakers on the web as well. But there's a need for caution that we have to understand that why am I choosing? What is attracting me to this particular speaker, this particular website, that particular audio clip? Is it because I know this person to be upright? Is he an akabirihim wa umana'ihim wa ulama'ihim? They should accept ilm from their seniors, from those who they regard as trustworthy, and from their ulama, from their scholars of knowledge and deen. فَإِذَا أَخَذُوا الْعِلْمَ عَنْ أَصَاغِرِهِمْ وَشِرَارِهِمْ هَلَكُوا. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, when the people begin to accept knowledge from those who are unqualified, underqualified, and those who have evil in them, evil beliefs, evil practices, then halaku, those who will benefit from them also will be destroyed. Those who will accept them as their channel of knowledge will also be destroyed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, emphasizing the importance of ilm and reliable scholars, reliable ulama, and taking our ilm from the reliable sources. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take away knowledge from the dunya at once. That one day Allah presses the delete button and everything has vanished. No. Gradually knowledge will be taken away from the dunya. وَلَكِنْ يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاءِ Allah will take away the ulama, the scholars of knowledge, the scholars of deen. They will be taken away from this dunya. I mean, they'll begin to pass away with no replacement. حَتَّى إِذَا لَمْ يُبْقِي عَالِمًا Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a time will come and Allah will not allow one alim also to remain in this dunya. All will leave. And they'll not be replaced by people of their caliber. اتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسًا جُهَالًا Then the people will turn to seniors who are jahils. They will make those people, the ignorant ones, their seniors. فَسُئِلُوا Those people will be asked for fatwa. فَأَفْتَوْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ They will give the wrong fatwa. It's obvious because they got no ilm, they got jahalat, they are ignorant. فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا They will go astray and there will be a means of leading everybody else astray as well. The message in this hadith, respected friend and elders, is that if you don't have an authentic source, then you are acquiring not ilm-e-deen, you are acquiring dalal, not acquiring Islam, you are acquiring misguidance. فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا If these people have got no knowledge, and they are not authentic in their knowledge, then you are, that person will be going astray and whoever he leads with him also will be following suit. So emphasis should be laid on the sifat more than the outer image, more than the outer look, respected friends and elders, more than the entertainment and the extent I can be entertained in that bayan. And how beautiful that website may look, and how nice the cover of the book may look. No, respected friends and elders, we should pay more attention as to who is the speaker, who is the author, who is the person maintaining that particular website. Is this person a reliable, upright alim? Can I see deen on him or not? As I mentioned, we will take deen from those in whom we can see deen. Because the knowledge of deen is not just mere information. We can't just take and copy and paste from one place and send to another, respected friends and elders. This also has become one pitfall of social media today, that we've got information at our fingertips. We've got a lot of information. And with that, we have accompanied also a lot of the knowledge of deen as well. Some person has copied and pasted from one article and he sends it to you, and you then pass it on to somebody else, and he passes it on to somebody else. How many a time an ulama sought to verify it, it turned out to have come from some obscure source, from some bid'ah, you know, some deviated sect, from some Shia website, from some Shia alim or kitab or reference, and we are passing it on, not even realizing what are we doing. So when somebody sends us any piece of information, if it's a doctor who sends me medical advice, I will take it. If it's a cook who sends us a recipe, we'll accept that. But you can't expect to take your knowledge of deen from anyone and everyone, respected friends and elders. And this habit of copying and pasting, it may be for brevity, it may be for convenience, but what has happened? What has happened is now the source is no more quoted. Who did I get this from? If I received a particular message from one particular alim and I want to forward it, then the proper etiquette is forward and as received from this particular alim. Then that lends weight, respected friends and elders, to that statement. Similarly, if it's some kind of medical advice, then I should pass it on, accompanying with it, the source in the field of medicine. Since when did I become a doctor that I am now able to pass on advice to somebody else? So one of the pitfalls of copying and pasting, respected friends and elders, without attributing it to the source, is by the time it reaches the third and fourth source, we don't even know who it is, where it came from. And what do? We suffice. We suffice on the sender, as if the sender was the author of that article. We suffice that this particular person sent it to me, my brother sent it to me, my cousin shared this with me. So as long as he sent it, he's okay, I know him. But respected friends and elders, where did he get it from? He also thought the same when he received. And the person who sent it to him also may have thought the same. But the origin of that article is completely lost. We don't know where it came from, where this message is from. And this, as I mentioned, has an effect on our practice, on our amal. Your knowledge of deen, if it's tainted, your amal and your practice of deen, respected friends and elders, will also be tainted. So emphasis needs to be more on the outer image. More than that, emphasis needs to be on the inner sifat and qualities. The qualities of the person from whom I accept my knowledge of deen. There's a nikah today as well, respected friends and elders. And we were speaking about the importance of making the right choice when it comes to other important aspects of our life, like choosing a spouse. Mawlana Tariq Jameel Sahib, Hafizahullah, mentions a first-hand incident. He says, there was a person who was my father's friend. He was quite handsome, had a very good job. When he reached the age of marriage, then his parents suggested that he marry a particular woman. And he gave her name. Her name was Noor Bibi. So he says that this person didn't want to marry her because she never looked very attractive. And the man himself was quite attractive, had a good job also. So he mentioned, Mawlana Tariq Jameel Sahib says, this person used to complain to my father that I don't know what to do. You know, on one hand, if I don't marry this woman, then I am going against the wishes of my parents. That I cannot tolerate. On the other hand, if I marry her, then you know, it's zindagi ka sawal. It's the question of the rest of my life. Marriage is not just for a month or a year, respected friends and elders. It's for life, it's a lifelong decision. So if I marry her, then as I mentioned at the beginning, you can be cooked for life. So he made the right decision at the end and he listened to his parents. And he married this woman. Mawlana Sahib mentioned that this person says, at the beginning of our married life, the condition was such, when she was inside the house, I would be outside. When she would come outside, I would go inside. I never had any love for her. But I just listened to my parents and I married her. He says, thereafter, after a while, I realized the sifat and the qualities that this woman has. And respected friends and elders, ask any person who has been through life, 5-10 years of marriage, what counts more? What counts more? Is it the outer look? Is it the image? Or is it the inner sifat and qualities? There are so many people who are very, very attractive, but they ended up in divorce. It may be because of some misunderstanding, and a lot of the time because outwardly there may be beauty. But inside, respected friends and elders, there's no beauty. The sifat that are supposed to be there were not there. And we were focusing on the wrong aspect. We were focusing on the outer image. So he says, I realized the sifat this woman had. I would come late at night, she would stay up, give me freshly cooked food, freshly made rotis. She used to massage me and let me go to sleep. Next morning, my shoes and my clothing are ready. Allah gave me some children. Then I began to love her. After a few years, she passed away. So now he had to remarry. He was young still. He had a few young children as well. So this time, respected friends and elders, Mawlana Sahib says, he says, now I saw this part of the life. The first part my father related to me. Now Mawlana Tariq Jameel Sahib says, I saw the next part of the life, that this person that married someone whom he felt was very attractive. Here in his second marriage, he placed an emphasis on the outer image. He says, I saw this person the rest of his life, how he cried. Meaning how he grieved and how he missed the first wife. He was married to someone who was very beautiful outwardly. But inside, whether there was beauty or not, respected friends and elders, that was the other question. He says, Mawlana Sahib's words are, Noor Bibi karte karte mar gaya. I saw this man in his life, he kept on singing for his old wife. And he kept on grieving and he died like that also. So respected friends and elders, in everything in life, it's not just the outer look, it's the inner sifat as well. I will end with this. Rabi'atul Rai rahimahullah, who was the ustad of Imam Malik rahimahullah, passed away in the year 136. That's 1301 years ago, respected friends and elders. Rabi'atul Rai rahimahullah, one day he was seated in the corner and he was crying. Somebody came and asked him, Shaykh, Adhaharat alayka musiba? Has there been some calamity that has surfaced itself in your life? Is there some calamity that has befallen you? He says, no. وَلَكِنْ اسْتُفْتِيَ مَنْ لَا عِلْمَ لَهُ وَظَهَرَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ أَمْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. He says, I'm not crying because of a personal calamity. I'm crying because of a catastrophe has befallen Islam. اسْتُفْتِيَ مَنْ لَا عِلْمَ لَهُ. Such people are being asked for fatwa. Such people are being used as source of information of deen and knowledge of deen, who've got no knowledge with them, who are not justified, who are not suitable, who are not qualified. أُسْتُفْتِيَ مَنْ لَا عِلْمَ لَهُ. And then he says, what is this? ظَهَرَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ أَمْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. This is a very serious matter, a serious calamity that has befallen Islam. And then he says, وَلَبَعْضُ مَنْ يُفْتِيهَا هُنَا. There are some people who are giving fatwa, meaning passing on the knowledge of deen. There are some who people have accepted as their source of the knowledge of deen. أَحَقُّ بِالسَّجْنِ مِنَ السُّرَّةِ. They deserve more to be imprisoned than even the thieves. There are some who have assumed the pedestal of ilm and knowledge, and of tutorship and passing on knowledge. But they deserve to be imprisoned. They deserve that more than the thieves. The thieves are stealing the wealth and personal belongings of people. This person is stealing in deen. He's a thief in deen, respected friends and elders. Rabi'atul Rai rahimahullah said this and he was crying. Imam Ibn Salah rahimahullah, who quoted this incident, says, rahimallahu Rabi'a, kayfa law adraka zamanana. May Allah have mercy on Rabi'a. Imagine if he saw our zamana, our era. Ibn Salah rahimahullah passed away in the year 643. 643, respected friends and elders. We are now 1437. Imagine if they saw our zamana. What would Rabi'a rahimahullah say? That time he said, وَلَبَعْضُ مَنْ يُفْتِيهَا هُنَا أَحَقُّ بِالسَّجْنِ. These are people who need to be imprisoned, meaning need to be kept aside. If you were in an Islamic government, in other words, then these people need to be sanctioned on one side. They need to be boycotted, house arrest, so that they are not allowed to pass on unauthentic knowledge of deen. So respected friends and elders, the message is one and simple, that today we should not be treating the knowledge of deen like any other piece of information. That wherever it comes from, and as attractive it may seem, we will accept it. Even the information of dunya, respected friends and elders, today we are at such a point that there's an article stating there are bogus news sites in our own country. Bogus news, and it's making money out of it. The maqsad is to entertain the people. Interview was conducted with a person who maintains this bogus news website where he puts false news. And there were some headlines of his that actually caused a stir in the community after the recent elections. So he was asked, why do you have this? He says, no, to entertain the people and to make money. So not every person who has some website, respected friends and allies, has got your good at heart. Not every person who's passing on any information, and more importantly, the knowledge of deen, the information and the ilm of deen, not every such person has got your good at heart. Rather, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu gave us this yardstick. And he gave us this, that as long as we abide by this, ma akhadhu al-ilma an akabirihim, their local seniors, wa umana'ihim, those whom they trust, they know. If you don't know who he is, how do you trust him? Wa an ulama'ihim, from their own ulama, whom they grew up with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.